If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
...love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. We're glad you're with us as always. This is going to be a really special episode. And I really feel like one of the more interesting discussions that we may have ever had from a standpoint of golf and travel. With our good friend Eric Hart, who will be joining us shortly. Darren, of course, is here with me. I'm Mitch Lawrence, Darren Bunch, Chris McEwen. If there were glass, a production glass, Chris would be behind it. And we thank him for that. But Darren,
can I just say right off the top that every episode with me is a special episode?
You can say it, but Chris and I may disagree. I don't feel like we have time to argue about that.
Eric will definitely disagree.
But thanks for jumping in. Before we let Darren go off on some special tangent, we do want to welcome a great new sponsor, Golf Package Pros. If you're looking to book a golf package almost anywhere in the West, and this is some serious stuff, Scottsdale, St. George, Mesquite, Laughlin, and most importantly, Las Vegas. Even if you already have lodging set, you can check out the friendly concierge service. It's a family-owned Golf Package Pros with more than 25 years of experience helping golfers book trips to some of the best golf destinations. In America. Start planning that next golf getaway at golfpackagepros.com. You can follow at Golf Package Pros on Twitter and Instagram. And as always, you can find us on the Golf Newsnet platform, including the iHeartRadio channel or anywhere that you consume your podcasts. I think that's a great way of putting it, consume them. Sounds like you're eating a podcast meal. You can reach me, Mitch Lawrence, on Twitter, at Mitch Lawrence, and at Mitch_Lawrence1 on Instagram. He's Darren Bunch, at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. Chris, of course, at Chris McEwen on Twitter and Instagram. You can always reach out to us at Golf Trip Experts. On Twitter and Instagram and
Golf Trip Experts, which now has a check mark, a verified check mark on the Twitter.
Yeah, baby. You know, I tried to do that the other day. So far I haven't seen a blue check mark. So I don't know what their deal is, but
my Golf Getaways check mark is supposed to be here today.
Oh, good. Well,
it's coming in the mail.
Yeah. I was going to say, if yours arrives, I'll check my mailbox. So we'll see. But anyway, there's a lot of places to reach us, and we hope you'll do that. Let's start off before we get to Eric, who is waiting patiently in Minnesota right now. Just wanted to touch base on something that I think is great. Two podcast episodes ago, Darren and Chris and I talked about grass clippings in the Phoenix area in Arizona. I had a chance to go and play during the day and the beginning of kind of sunset. I did not take advantage of what is the most unique aspect, I think, of grass clippings. But Darren, you did have a chance to play grass clippings at night under the lights. Chris is going to be going there soon. Give us a little bit rundown on how great it was.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I think they're like changing or creating a new market in a way. We definitely all played night golf in some respect. Eric and I most notably played up at Cabot on the, I think it's called the Nest. Is that right, Eric?
Yes.
To Cabot, Cape Breton, or however we call that now.
Yes.
But something about grass clippings, it's just, it's kind of like Goat Hill Park on, all lit up and on speed. It's just, it's so community golf in the best of ways. You're excited. Everybody is out there is excited to play. What they've done with the lights is fantastic. Brian Bennett's talked to us about that at the time where the lights go up toward the ball as well as down onto the course. And so you can see your ball traveling the entire way. I understood that when he said it, but once you sit out there and you start hitting shots and you realize it really adds to the experience. The place overall, I mean, it's going to be phenomenal when they have a new clubhouse built and a little concert venue and all these things. But right now, it's just a small clubhouse that was already there, golf shop. It's got a taco truck that is just absolutely fantastic.
I believe you lived there for about 8 hours, didn't you?
It's crazy. I was coming back from Tucson on a trip with our friend Joe Sass, and I got there much too early to meet up with Cole Cook from Golf Package Pros and Golf Scottsdale, Arizona. And I just, you know, was shooting pictures. The sun was going down. I'm catching the sunset. I'm eating tacos. I'm talking to the gal in the beer. There's a beer truck, basically a taco truck type thing, but just with alcohol, which, you know, sounds heavenly. And just watching these people go out off the first tee under the lights and just having a blast. And we got out there and played. The golf course is fun. All the holes are interesting, little par threes. But it's very much right in the center of town too. And so it's community golf at its best. And I can't recommend it highly enough. If I lived, I put this on Twitter yesterday. If I lived within 45 minutes of grass clippings, I would play it at least once a week in the evening, especially during the hot months.
So cool.
Eric's excited because Eric will be there someday, I'm sure. But Chris is excited because Chris is going to go and he's going to play it on the longest day of the year.
It's true. A whole plethora of McEwen men are convening on grass clippings for this round.
Boy. Oh, boy.
So it's it'll be a thing.
My round started at 9 p.m. And I had asked Brian Bennett to put us as last out. And at the time he booked it, 9 o'clock was the last tee time. But when I got there, they had switched to summer hours and they had people going off, I think as late as 11 o'clock. You can play 9 holes starting at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that'd be
perfect. We finished just after midnight, and it was absolutely beautiful. I think it was like 82 degrees at one point when Cole checked yeah, I mean, just out there having fun and playing and watching people and hitting golf shots. And what more can you ask for?
Nothing.
Even when I booked a foursome, and then I had an uncle who was like, well, what about me? And so I was like, well, I'll call and I'll grab another foursome and I'll fill it out. And I called and the guy on the phone was like, we'll just add him. We'll just put them on these. It's fine. Yeah. That's kind of like, that's the vibe there. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, that is the vibe. And you know what? I'll echo what Darren said. Vibe is everything there. And it starts, I remember I said this on the podcast, when I walked in, I was playing with our friend Tom Mackin. He wasn't there yet. And I got there by myself. And the first people, I walked right to the bag drop just to put my bag down. And the first two I met were the youngish girl and a guy who were at the bag drop and handling that part of it. And they were unbelievably great, friendly, and not in a forced way, but just really fun. And from the minute you set foot on that course, and the whole ground there, that's what you feel, that kind of vibe. So it doesn't surprise me that they said, well, just add them and, you know, off you go.
The energy from the staff is fantastic. I mean, like you said, it's just so many good young people, and it's clear that they've been trained well, but they're also really just good people and personable people, and they like being there. And that's you can see that in your staff, and it really makes a huge difference.
All right, let's go. Have a great time, Chris.
Yeah, quick though, you know, Chris is going to be there all night. Eric told us something just off camera. I was going to say, like, we're recording this with our faces, but Eric, you have a big deal at Wild Marsh. We're going to get into more Wild Marsh, but you're doing something on the longest day of the year as well. Mitch and I will be playing Todd Hill Farm in North Carolina on the longest day of the year. But you do something at Wild Marsh that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I envy all three of you, actually.
actually, I envy you and Mitch. In my opinion, Todd Hill Farm is the most underrated, best value golf course in all of North Carolina. So I think you guys will have a heck of an amazing day there. But we try and throw something different at Minnesota here at Wild Marsh as well. We do the state's only quadruple shotgun event. That means shotguns at 5 a.m., 9 a.m., 2 p.m., and 6 p.m. And it's the same people playing all day. So it's 72 holes of golf, just rotating around. We switch carts after 36 holes, so you get fresh carts. Run the bev carts and food trucks through the course all day long. So it's literally 20 hours of golf in a day. It's pretty unbelievable. And we sell out every year. So it's a fun day.
How That's amazing. Outstanding. So my 72 holes for each of these people.
Yes.
Would bet it's your most efficient day of golf because everyone's got a tee time waiting for them. So it's like slow play is not an issue.
Slow play is not an issue.
My back hurts just hearing you talk about it.
Yeah. So does my elbow.
Yeah. Well, we all have issues. All right. Since we've already heard the voice of Eric Hart, you've heard on podcasts before. We've had him on. I'm just going to do a quick, I want to set up, the reason I said I think this might be one of the more interesting podcasts we've ever done, because Eric has had already, with nothing else, one of the more unusual lives that you will hear about, given his background, his upbringing, his getting into golf, which we could do a couple hours just on that. Again, we've talked about it before, but once in the golf world, he's been with us at Golf Trip X for quite a while. But it's really the reason the word experts comes in here is because there are very few people on the planet, literally, who have played and stayed at more golf courses around the world than Eric has. And all this is going to feed into why Eric is at Wild Marsh, what he's doing now, which I truly don't know anybody else that's done what Eric is doing right now. Wild Marsh Golf Club is up in Buffalo, Minnesota. It's just outside of Minneapolis. I'm really interested. I know Darren has spent a lot of time with you, Eric, up there. So I'm really interested to hear about all this. First of all, welcome back. I was going to go into how many courses you've played and resorts you've stayed at. And I mean, the last time I looked, it was something like, well, I know it's more than 500 golf courses, but the resort number is staggering also. And just the way you keep everything with lists, I think you're on the Hall of Fame lists. I think they do have a special Eric Hart category now, which people have to fill. And I'm sure you have lists for things other than golf, although maybe not. But welcome back, man. I miss seeing you. I miss playing golf with you. We're just glad to have you on to talk about what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Always way too generous with the compliments, in my opinion, Mitch. So
you let me be the judge.
I appreciate that. And yeah, watching you guys on some of these last few trips to some of the places, some of my favorite places, St. George and all that, is hard, but rewarding too, to know how great everything is out there and how great you guys do at promoting everything. So Golf Package Pros is in good hands. I loved working with Brian all the years I worked with Brian. And obviously I've been part of your team there for 12 years, almost 13 years now. So me, you, and Darren go back quite a ways there too. But yeah, we're up to 696 for total golf courses played and 251 for resorts stayed at. So the number climbs just a lot slower these days.
Are you targeting a 700th course, Eric?
Oh, man. You know, I had it in my head where 700 was going to be. I wanted it to be somewhere special. At the rate that I'm going as a GM and not getting to play very much, I thought it might be in the year 2037, at which point Gamble Sands' second course should be open. So that was kind of a fun target for me, but I don't know. I'm thinking it's probably going to end up in Ireland, my guess, in September.
Nice.
Although it could be at Grey Wolf in British Columbia here in 2 weeks.
Oh, very nice.
Well, they, either of those would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's a stunning number. I truly can't comprehend it. But like I said, it lends itself to this discussion of Wild Marsh and being there. When you have the kind of experience as a journalist, as a golfer, as a traveler, and a lot of your travels have been with your family, that's a big part of the things that you've written about and can give advice about to people. And then in a somewhat, well, I won't say remarkable, but in an interesting turn of events, you are, as you said, the general manager at Wild Marsh in Buffalo, Minnesota. So I think the first and most obvious question is, what led from the life you were having in golf and all the traveling that you were doing to settling at Wild Marsh in this position? How did all that come about? What made you decide to go ahead and do that?
It's a great question that probably has a lot of different answers to it. I can kind of circle it all around to what a lot of people can circle around being a major change in their lives, and that would be COVID. COVID kind of shut everything down, you know, for travel for quite some time. And for those of us that were travel all the time, it was, how long is this going to go on? And if it does last for a long time, what can I do in the meantime? And with all of my background and experience in marketing and photography and promotion and working with, you know, for over a decade here, all the top resorts in Minnesota with their marketing managers and all that, from, you know, Breezy Point to Giants Ridge and Wilderness at Fortune Bay and all the other top 100 courses in this area, working with them kind of made me look around here and see who I thought might use some help here. And you mentioned my family and travel with my family. For me, my son Dylan, who's in his 20s now, at the time he was in high school, and the opportunity presented itself for me to pick from a handful of courses in the area that were looking for marketing slash managing help. And I thought I would go to a place that he would play a lot that would help him with his high school practice, high school career there. And there were two really good, very high-end courses in the area that at the time needed help. And one of them happened to be 5 miles away and the other one was 15 miles away. And the one that was 5 miles away was just looking for part-time, but still offered the opportunity for Dylan to play whenever he wanted. And that happened to be here. Well, at the time, the city of Buffalo owned the course and manage the course. And so they were just looking for marketing help. And I was working for a great guy then who, you know, marketing wasn't his thing, and he trusted me to do whatever I wanted in terms of trying to promote a very unique at the time to golf courses everywhere, which was the whole no touch, you know, breeze through, somehow managed to feed people and give people drinks without touching anything environment, and trying to get people to come out and realize that it was safe on the golf course, safer on the golf course than anywhere else, in our opinion, though the state leaders disagreed with us at the time, was a kind of a unique concept that no one else here or lots of places had any experience with. And so that was kind of a cool intersection to jump into and take something on that I had never done before, with everything I've learned from Darren and everybody else about their marketing experiences. And, you know, being able to apply it firsthand was I put it on COVID, but very unique.
Go ahead, Mitch. You choose.
Well, obviously, as you said, COVID was responsible for a lot of changes and a lot of things changing for people. It makes total sense to me that your first impulse was to help Dylan. I can't believe, because we've known, those of us who know him have known him for a long time, I can't believe he's in his 20s now. Yeah. And I'm sure you can't.
Nope.
but it had to have been, were you, did you have any trepidation about kind of going over to that side for the first time, that part of being involved in the golf business? Or did you just feel like this, I know enough and I trust it and they trust me and I'm jumping in?
Yes and no. Darren and I have probably talked for over 500 hours about, seriously, about finding a course somewhere that we could run together from the ground up at every level.
Right.
And having had all those conversations with him, we brainstormed so many cool things that we thought, hey, how cool would it be to try this at your own course? And with that whole portfolio of ideas, you called me a list maker. I had a lengthy list of things that I would love to try. I was really eager to jump in and see if any of them would work. I mean, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit more later too, but taking all these things that we've learned from all of our travels everywhere and seeing whether or not they can legitimately apply at a small town, at the time, municipal course, to turn it into a resort / destination course for a lot of people. I mean, I wanted to see if I could do it. So it was really cool to do it, really cool to try, really cool to have a new owner come in and buy the place and then hand me the reins. And then on that flip side, even cooler to have Darren, who I talked about all these things with for hundreds of hours, come out and experience it all himself after I'd been running it for a year and a half, and to be able to see what he thinks and what his impressions were about just the transformation from what it used to be to what it was after just a year and a half. And now a year and a half later, where we are now, you know, getting some of Darren's perspectives on that was pretty awesome, in my opinion.
And to me, the interesting point in this, Mitch, and obviously Eric, is you, like, we both have kind of made this transition, you and I both, where we were avid travelers, we were writers, we were editors, we were doing all this, you know, they were doing the whole content game, as they call it these days. And we both got into the marketing side. I went to Rams Hill and I have helped open, you know, Bar Run and did these things. And now I'm with Tobacco Road and have this, a potential project that I can't speak about yet. But
oh, come on.
What happened with you here, and that you got in on the marketing side, but this unique opportunity that you just mentioned of the city no longer owning the golf course and having private ownership, giving you the opportunity to move into the GM and then revolutionize this however you wanted to see it, you know, see what you wanted to do. I don't think people realize if they go to Wild Marsh, they go to the website or they go to one of the social media, you designed the logo, you know, the Buffalo logo. You didn't farm it out. You had something you had in your mind for a long time. You know, the small details of the experience all the way through. You know, one of the best pieces of golf apparel I have is something you designed. And so it's, I think that's the interesting part here, and that taking all of this experience, like you said, we've talked about it, but so much of this is just you having a vision for what this property could be and then putting that into practice and seeing people respond. Obviously, Joe Sass and I came out and we absolutely loved it and had a great time. And it extends past what the golf course is. It's a fun golf course, but the overall experience is because you were able to pull all this out of your mind, and not just pull it out of your mind, because it's one thing to say, hey, we should do this or we should do this. You know, you and I have joked about starting a golf course called Pansy Forest forever.
Yeah.
But actually doing it, executing it, is the part that I realize now is so difficult, and really what we were really proud of when we got there and saw everything you were doing. So just, I mean, talk about that, of kind of the task of putting all these ideas, pulling them out of your head, but actually putting them into practice.
You know, I'm always quick, and rightfully so, to give credit to the people who helped me get here, which is you and Brian and Vic at the time, and other people who, you know, puts a lot of these ideas into my head and just started spinning. And you all know, once you get my head spinning, it doesn't stop. So, you know, a lot of it, like you walking in and telling me after you'd played and coming back in and saying, you know, I walked around, I looked at everything before, I took everything in, I went out to the car and I came back in, and I just got to say, I think this is like the best stocked public golf shop I've been in, you know, and I don't think people like break down a full golf experience into all the categories that you and I do. So I don't think they realize that there's literally 20, 30 different departments in a golf course that you do have to take into account when you're managing the whole place. And as it would be here, you know, I manage the restaurant and the golf course, you know, so I've got a few different departments there too, but you talked about how the staff was so personable and you could tell that they were trained and that they went through all that stuff. And it's like, I think a lot of people who go to these golf courses just assume that all that stuff just happens or that these people just know how to do it. And knowing that you have to transfer it across all these different departments and have all of them all match up and mesh up to be, you know, excellent is a really monumental task. I would say it's way bigger than even I anticipated, because while there is the super fun side to running a golf course where you can do what you want and you can call your own shots, and you know, everybody does kind of have to do it the way that you want it done, while that's super beneficial, you also get all the other side too. You get every little thing that goes wrong. You get, you know, 100 people a week who think you control the weather. You know, it covers so many different facets, and I love looking at it as I look at it and knowing the transition that it was from golfer who would go to these places and break down everything and say, gee, they could do better at this, or they could do better at that, or holy cow, bottle of water for $5. Seriously, who does that? Those kind of things. Well, now I see what everything costs. I know what the profit margin is. I know that right now we pay $1.31 for a Snickers bar and we can't afford to sell it for $2 anymore. It has to be $2.50. And that's just to make a dollar profit after you give season pass holders their 10%. I mean, breaking everything down into pennies and nickels as opposed to dollars, the owner will tell you firsthand here that I fight him tooth and nail over every price increase in anything. But I also understand why he feels the need to go up $5 when he paid $790,000 for a new fleet of carts. You know,
right?
I get that. And as much as I hate it from the consumer side, they're getting a brand new cart with GPS that is state of the art in every way from a course that's trying to do everything right so that your experience is A+ from beginning to end. And you just can't do that for $50 anymore.
Yeah. And I think that is such a good point, and something I've been telling the guys I wanted to dive into more in subsequent podcasts now that I'm on this side, is that people don't, the average player who shows up and complains about whatever, especially complains about cost and prices going up, doesn't understand what it costs to maintain, certainly to maintain a top 100 level golf course, and to create that experience. But even a golf course that what we would call mid-level golf courses, when I look at it now, I mean, Rams Hill is completely redoing their fairways. It's costing them millions of dollars from ownership to do that kind of thing. Market Tobacco Road, they just bought a new fleet of carts in the same way you're talking about. Or something like renovating your bathrooms or making sure there's an ice and water machine plumbed in each of your, you know, key spots on a golf course. All those kinds of things, nobody's thinking about that because they just expect it. Like you said, with all of these things, they just expect it to be there as part of it. But they're not thinking about, okay, what does all this cost? And what does this all cost post-COVID when prices for everything outside of what you're trying to do have gone up? So I think you make a great point about just what it takes and what goes into trying to figure out the price of your golf course. So let me ask you two questions. One, what are you charging for a bottle of water? Because that was going to be my number one question. And I'm curious, what's the top end rate you're getting for Wild Marsh these days?
So $2 for a bottle of water. So
beautiful.
Yeah, it should be $1.50, but $2 is cleaner. So right now we cover our margin and we stick it at two. And then we are $79.95 on weekends peak. That's 18 holes with cart, GPS cart. That's our peak rate, and that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday through Thursday, we offer specials throughout the day. We do a burger and a beer for $1 on Thursday. Which is a massive promotion in the Twin Cities and draws thousands of people out each season for it. We have no trouble filling our tee sheet Thursday afternoon because of that. And then Monday we do a special because it tends to be our maintenance day. We open a couple hours later to give them the chance to actually mow the whole course, which again is another thing that people don't think about. Mow the whole course after allowing people to play on the weekends without the mowers being in the way. Monday morning, they get 2 extra hours to go out and do that. So when they come off the end there, we do a 4 for $140, which breaks down to $35 for 18 holes with a cart for people. And that helps us on Mondays, too.
That is unbelievable, Eric.
Yeah, which is phenomenal value.
But that's in peak season.
Yep.
And weekends. And I mean, what's today, Monday? Okay, I'll be there Thursday. And then maybe I'll hang around till Monday.
Yep.
No, but that is awesome. And this is a course that I haven't been there, and you guys can help on this, but seems really interesting to me. We talked a little about it, Eric. I said I'd been looking through all the pictures. There's some really, really beautiful holes on this golf course. It's a Graham Marsh designed golf course. Has there been any work done to it since it was built in 2000?
A lot of work, actually. It used to be played in reverse, which people who don't know that the old course used to be the other way, too, don't get my joke when I'm talking about how we're the new old course out here. But it used to be played the opposite way, and it was just so complicated to play that way that they fixed it and all that. But they've filled in a lot of bunkers to increase playability because we do have some marsh carries. So in order to keep our round, our average round on weekends is 4 hours and 7 minutes. Our average round on a weekday is 3 hours and 47 minutes. So the marsh areas do, this is for a foursome. The marsh areas do come into effect and do impact play quite a bit. So in order to not have people constantly getting stuck on the course, we filled in a dozen of the bunkers that were out here and shortened our rough grass down to a little over a half inch all the way around. And Darren played it, so he kind of knows, just to kind of keep people moving.
Wait, you're saying Darren was in bunkers and in the rough?
I don't know that he was in a bunker, but if he was, I'm sure he got up and down, no problem.
I was definitely in some of the marsh areas, though.
He did hit a marsh on two, yes. So
yeah.
So all that said, like I said, phenomenal value. As a guy who's been there and played it, and I don't just say this, you know, I'm sure there are going to be people who listen to this and go, oh, well, these guys are friends. Of course, he loved it and whatever.
Right.
And I don't think people understand your and my relationship if they believe that I would just tell you it's good if it wasn't.
He's never complimented me other than that. So
there you go. That's the only compliment ever. That's right. But tell me, getting back to this golf ops side of things, what did you learn that you didn't know? Like, you know, obviously you've played, you know, almost 700 golf courses. And you know, I'm at over 500. So we know a lot. We've seen a lot. But I find something new at Tobacco Road every day that I didn't know. And when it comes to the golf ops side, and I'm curious, what surprised you? What'd you learn that you went, wow, I just never expected to think about this or have to think about it?
I just scribbled down a couple things quickly because three things came to mind right away as soon as you asked that question. The first thing that comes to mind for me is how hard it is to get away from your desk.
Yes.
I mean, I come in every day and I look at this beautiful course and I look out over both of our lakes and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hop in a cart after I check my emails and I'm just going to drive around the course. And I can guarantee you that that doesn't ever happen. I don't ever get to just hop on a cart and drive around because once you sit down, you're stuck. So to me, that's the first thing that comes to mind that I really wasn't expecting. I thought there would be more of a chance to get out with people, to play with different people, to, you know, go around and see how people are doing, which is what I love to do And I feel shortchanged in many ways that way, that I don't get to interact more. But I also know that there are 100 different things that you have to do on the backside that nobody ever sees, just so that everybody has the experience you want them to have. So getting away from the desk, but one that you and I talk about a lot is, you know, how many people make issues out of non-issues. That to me would would be something, just on so many different things. You know, you have a back nine start because a mower breaks down on the front, or whatever it is, or you're trying to double roll the greens because you have a tournament coming up on Friday and you're trying to get everything. So you send everybody out there, and then, you know, people are upset about that. Or, you know, it just rained this past week. We got 7 inches of rain in 7 days, which is a lot of rain. And the number of people who were upset that they couldn't leave the cart path and drive through our ponds in order to play golf, you know, just kind of astonishes you, because you're like, okay, on the one hand, all the pass holders will tell us that they're proud to have the best conditioned course in the Northwest Metro. On the other hand, those same pass holders will say, but is there any way you can let us go off the paths and drive through the fairways when they're wet? I just feel like, you know, that disconnect is something that surprises me. I would think they would understand it more. And then the third thing that I wrote down was how the resort golf course experience is, and golfers, are different than local golfers. We notice it most in the replacing divots and repairing ball marks. Where we are from the cities, we're approximately half an hour from the metro border. They're a little less, 25 minutes to a half hour. But where we are, the golfers who will come out on the weekends, for us, they're going to come out here once a month. So when they come out, they're not necessarily planning on coming back for another month. So they'll leave every divot out, not repair their ball marks, do that all the way around the course. And we'll have 270, 280 golfers every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, half of them being public golfers from the cities. Well, you think about that, that's 500 ball marks in one shape or form that are left out on the golf course each weekend. And with all those people not fixing them, it's amazing how fast your course can go from best to beat up. And trying to stay on top of that, I don't feel like I've ever disrespected superintendents, because I can't imagine their job, but I've never appreciated superintendents as much as I appreciate ours for what they have to go through every single day to get the course back to its condition, especially on Mondays after the public has just beat the tar out of it.
I'm going to jump in here, because I think that's a great point about the supers. I don't understand people not taking care of a golf course anyway, and I never will. But this is an issue for anybody who cares about the game and plays, that as long as I've been playing 40 plus years, this has been an issue. And we joke around about cameras on greens. And I have a friend who owns, you know, a few golf courses here. And he said, yes. Yeah, so what do? Let's say you have cameras and you see guy foursome comes up. Nobody fixes a ball mark. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
When they come back in, are you going to say, we'd appreciate it if you don't come back?
Nope.
I mean, you can't do it. It's a business thing. So I'm not even sure how you deal with that one.
Yeah. And the other part of that too, with in relation to superintendents, is people don't understand what it takes to grow grass.
No.
And I think that's something I've found at the different places I've worked now, in that when there are a dozen factors that go into making you lose a piece of a green, or the tee box is being beat up, or whatever. And much of that is weather related, as Eric pointed out. And a person comes out and plays and they have no idea that, well, why couldn't you have this better? Well, because once something gets out of whack in the golf business on a golf course, it takes months to try to bring it back, bring something back. It takes months to repair a green and have it grow in properly. It takes months to get divots filled and have a smooth tee box again. During COVID, I mean, so many courses took such a beating because the pace of play, I mean, not the pace of play, but the number of players just exploded. And so people don't understand that. And then the player comes in and he says, well, you should have charged me less.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part where we all look around, you know, and go, okay, well, if we do that, well, you're just not going to have a golf course eventually.
Yep.
Because we can't just, we're still paying the same to create the golf course and to manage the golf course and to keep the golf course up, even though the conditions might not be as perfect as they could be. If we charge you less, golf course is just going to go away. And so there's so many of those little things that I'm with Eric. I've learned on this journey that the average guy doesn't understand. And I try to be, I've never been a guy who's been particularly upset about things, you know, when I go somewhere. But man, I try to be even more, accommodating now and realize there is a story behind everything that happens at a golf course. And sometimes it might be bad management, but in most cases, it's just circumstances.
You know, you brought up the turf condition, our turf itself and grass and replacing grass. And I think that's a great point for us out here at Wild Marsh. So you and I, we've played Discovery Land property courses, which are top of the top, cream of the crop. Head out to Idaho, anywhere, you know, Hawaii, whatever, you're getting the best of the best at everything. And they've got the snack shacks and all that stuff out there that are grab, take all you want. Well, here in Minnesota, we've got one course. It's called Spring Hill. And Michael Jordan used to be a member of it. And it used to be like super elite. And it still is considered one of the five best courses in the state of Minnesota. And they still operate with those, you know, members only shacks that you can go in and you can take everything you want. And they've got tons of different options for them. Well, their distinction always was they were bent grass, tees, fairways, greens, everything. Our distinction out here is we're the only public golf course that's all of that. And All the courses around us are not that. So for a lot of them, when golfers come out here to our place, they'll say, oh, well, I played this course the other day and they had this or they had this or they didn't have the same enforcement or they didn't have the same rules. And that what they don't understand is in everyone's efforts to make this a top 10 in the state of Minnesota golf course, they went with top of the line everything to get there, meaning it needed that much more protection, meaning it needed that much more care. Meaning it needed somebody who was smart enough to figure out how to make it all work without the course all dying. And we've got that here. We've got a brilliant superintendent, but a great setup that is modeled after Spring Hill, the most elite of golf courses at the time. I think that turf management side on the bent grass side, people come out and play out here and they're like, oh, your course is just better than all the other courses around. Well, we say thank you, but we also know there's a lot more that goes into that. And that starts with that turf.
Exactly. And so many people don't know, and I'm one of them, to be honest with you, you know, the differences between bent grass and Bermuda and Zoysia and all these different things and what it takes to maintain those things and what you get out of them from a drought tolerance standpoint or from taking the rain or what the soil is like underneath. Those are all the things that people just don't. They have no clue about. And like if I could go on a campaign to the average golfer and just say, look, just understand that this is, you know, a golf course is a living, breathing thing. And just like, as we said earlier, Mitch and I, you know, just like our bodies are breaking down, you know, golf courses are breaking down over time too. And they're trying to get fixed and we're trying to patch them up and we're trying to do that while people are playing so you don't have to close the golf course, one, so golfers don't have access, and two, so that the golf course isn't making revenue when it's closed. So it's this delicate dance that I think people don't understand that I wish more people would.
You know, Mitch brought up a great point about the ball marks, and Darren, I know you've been heavily involved in several discussions on this on social media lately too, but the other controversial topic that all the golf courses are dealing with now in the post-COVID days where we're at, you know, a peak in surge of golfers who are out there playing, is the use of starters and rangers and pace of play for all of that. And you were asking me what were some things that surprised me about here. Well, that's something that surprises me, but it's something that I don't think that golfers even think about at all from the management side of it, because like repairing ball marks and everything that Mitch was talking about, we have golfers come in all the time who are like, oh, the group in front of us is slow. And this is usually a twosome complaining about a foursome, but they come in and they complain about the group in front of them being slow. Well, we look at it on the carts and they're still on pace. And by on pace, that means they're less than 2 hours and 4 minutes per side. So we see them in the green, but the golfers behind them see them in the red in their head, because they want to play in 3 hours. And the people out there are hoping to just make it under our 4 hours and 7 minute goal for every golfer out here. Well, they will call us on hole six, on hole seven, on hole eight, and then talk to us when they come in after nine, and want us to go out and send our starters out and send our rangers out to push the group ahead. Well, as a course manager and as somebody who hates it when a starter comes up to me when I'm out there playing on pace, the last thing I want to do is disrupt somebody who came out and put down $320 to play as a foursome on a weekend day and have somebody that's playing as a twosome behind them because they either didn't have enough friends or couldn't get enough people to join them.
You know, they sound like they didn't have enough friends. I got you.
To have them push them is wrong, and I refuse to do it. So I'll get called on that a lot, you know, from the season pass holders or whoever it is who wants us to shove people through faster. Well, in my opinion, where we are in the outskirts of town, an $80 round for us is exactly where we need to be and have to be and is a right value. But I value every single golfer who comes out here, especially those who pay full price, because I know that you might not, this might be a splurge for you. So if you're bringing your friends out there and you really want to show them why you love this course, I'm not going to push that down your throat that you need to speed up if you're going under the pace. So I think, to summarize it, I think there's a lot of issues that could be resolved by starter / good marshalling management out there. But there's a lot that I think people want involvement in until they get involved. And it's a hard balance to find there.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with foursomes, threesomes, and twosomes, and the occasional single. Yeah. Even the morning we played, you know, you had a single who was one of your pass holders who came and blew through us and kind of felt entitled to blow through us.
Right.
You know, and it was like, and I get that. I play a lot of golf by myself. And so, but I try to be very conscious of what other people think. Somebody who I really respect in the golf business, who is an operator, we've had this discussion, and Eric, I should have you on. We should do a discussion that's all pace of play, because there's so much that goes into it people don't realize. But the point he makes is golf in America, and this is not worldwide, golf in America is a game for foursomes. And if you're not playing in a foursome, then you should have to give deference to foursomes.
1,000,000%.
Foursomes is what runs golf in America. And if you're going to play, you're the anomaly if you're not playing in a foursome, and you should have to take whatever lumps come with it. Now, sometimes can you get through in a comfortable way and get ahead? That's fine. There's ways to do it. I just went through this in Tucson where, you know, we skipped a foursome at the turn, and it worked out perfectly. But you know, it's one of those things that people don't understand, that you get this accordion effect when you have threesomes and twosomes and singles, and it causes more problems. There are times that I'd rather have five or six players in one group as opposed to have
two threesomes,
you know, a 3-3 and a 2 or something like that. So it's an interesting concept, but we could talk about pace of play all day, as Mitch says sometimes. And we will. We're going to do a podcast on that, and I think you're the guy I'm going to have on to talk about it. But let's move on to we've kind of hit what we think golfers don't realize about the complexity. And you've talked about the challenges. What do you hope? Let's talk about the positive side of this. What do you hope every golfer takes away from a round at Wild Marsh?
Well, I mean, the thing that I have the most pride in as a golf course manager, as a general manager here, is honestly my staff. I love them. I've got a great team here. You know, it's weird to think about it this way, because anytime you go to a golf course, you don't really realize this, but we're a course out in a small town, 30 minutes outside of the Twin Cities. And I've got a staff of 68 that I manage here. And that's not outside services. That's golf shop, cart attendants, starters, bev cart, bartenders, kitchen, everything. It's a big team. And when you're out there, you know, you only get 6, 7, 8 of them at a time during your experience. What I love in the reviews and the responses and the write-ups and the phone calls and the emails that I get, you know, by the dozen every week, is the consistency with which people praise the staff, food service, the golf shop attendants, and all that. Because when you think about it, all these people are coming in at different times and getting different collections of staff. So with all those different mismatches, you'd think there'd be a lot more negative experiences or a lot more opportunities for negative experiences with the staff. But that's not been the case, especially this last year and a half. I think department by department, you know, I always tell people, and it's not a joke, it's serious. She is in the Hall of Fame, but we have the only Hall of Fame bartender in the state of Minnesota. She just made the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame last year. Jordan, incidentally, is her name. And she runs my bar upstairs for me. Her team, the other top-notch bartenders I have, I mean, I can go through every department. I just have so much pride in the people that they are. I think you've referenced this about other places that you go where you sit down and you just feel like everybody treats you like family and they treat you well. That was such a big thing for me in coming in that I wanted to bring about. And it does take a lot of time to find the right kind of staff, to find the people who reinforce your values and what you want people to experience here. But I think we've got that. So I hope when people come out here and they play here and they eat here and they go home and then they go to the next course, I hope the next course doesn't even come close to comparing to what we give. Nice. So I would say that, you know, I hope everybody feels like they really got taken care of and that they got a $200 experience out of an $80 course. I believe I have the best staff in the state. I hope most general managers will at least say that, but I believe it. And then I think our value is just outstanding. You know, I really felt that when we were able to keep our rates under 75, I thought we were the best. Back when Golf Digest did their top 100 courses in America, $75 and under, I would have put us in there. You know, now that we're 80, you know, I still feel we're remarkable value. But I think our superintendent keeps our course conditions on par with the best private clubs in the state of Minnesota. And I think anybody who's not out here playing is missing a heck of an experience.
Boy, it just sounds like it. I got to tell you.
Easily one of the best golf courses under $100 in the country that I've played, and I've played a few. So,
I just wanted to say something because I absolutely love what you said about the staff and the family, because it is a family. Any place you go every day and spend 8-10 hours a day working together and trying to make things work, and it's a family all the way around. It can be dysfunctional if it is a family, but for you kind of as the head of the family at this point, that's a great thing to say. And I really applaud you, Eric, because I know that, like I said at the beginning of this, the change from just being a golfer who goes and plays and visits to the responsibility and the traffic cop-like organization and everything is really amazing to me.
Appreciate
it. I think the whole thing is just fantastic.
Yeah, yep. I do take a lot of pride in it. I love the people I work with. And, you know, I'm super thrilled that Darren got to come out and experience it because, I mean, he's always known because we've traveled to well over 100 places together and we sit and talk about staff service, table service, you know, golf service, every one of those aspects. And to have him come out and tell me afterwards that he felt like he was taken care of, like he was at a private club, was one of the best compliments you can get as a GM.
Well, I understand that. Darren, is there anything else? I want to kind of move on and talk to Eric a little bit about the travel plans he has. Anything else you want to say about Wildmore?
No, I'm good. Let's find out where Eric is headed now.
Okay. I mean, it's seasonal up at White Marsh, Wild Marsh. We know that.
Yeah.
So where are you going to go when you have the chance? You mentioned before British Columbia. You mentioned Ireland.
So, you know, I go to Ireland every chance I get. As you all know, it's my home away from home. I'm heading back there in September. I've never been in the fall. So I've been greatly looking forward to that. We're doing the Northern Ireland loop through County Down and Port Rush again. I'd like to see it before the Open is there again next year. I'm getting up to St. Patrick's for the first time. Doak's course up there. Super thrilled to hit that corner. A lot of my favorites up there, Critch Island and, you know, Ardglass and some of the other places that I love, being able to loop through there and, you know, kind of refresh all the content on them. I'm excited about that. I get to take my wife and son along this time. So my wife's never been to Ireland and my son's never been to Northern Ireland. So they're looking forward to that. As I mentioned, in a week and a half here, heading up to Alberta and British Columbia, getting back to Jasper and Banff, which, you know, are two of my top 10 in the world. Love them.
Banff is, I'm just going to jump in and say I'm unbelievably jealous, right?
Yeah, it's, I can't wait. You know, Darren was talking about Nova Scotia earlier because he had asked me, you know, in a pre-conversation, like where I'd been that I was really excited about. And, you know, that was one post-COVID that he and I did together that was other than trying to figure out where on earth we were supposed to get our booster, our shot at the time. That was that was a phenomenal experience all the way through. And then the other place that I was just at and going to again that I know Brian hits on a lot too is Branson and everything they're doing down there. That's pretty much my travel calendar for upcoming.
That sounds pretty good though.
You have an extensive bucket list.
I do.
I've kept an impressive spreadsheet, as Mitch pointed out, that one of your many lists. What are the three courses you're eyeing these days and where you want to go?
Well, you know, these days is a good one. I've always had, it stayed at the top of my list for forever since you and Brian and I started talking about it. And I know we were trying to get Mitch to come out for it too, and not sure if we'll get there, but Shadow Creek's always at the top of my list, out in Vegas. And, I mean, for me, any chance I get to travel with any of you guys, wherever we go, we're going to make it great. But Shadow has been up there. And you, Darren, have been to my number one course on my bucket list, which is a long way away from here. But Cape Wickham out in Australia, that, you know, for people who have never heard of it, look it up. It Darren raves about it. His pictures of it made me cry like 5 days in a row. I can't imagine that it's as beautiful as it is, but I'm sure it is because Darren, I know, had nothing but positive to say about it. And then, look, everybody knows this on here. I'm a huge David Kidd fan. I can't wait to see what he's doing at Gamble. I'm real hopeful to make it back to the Big Island and play Nanea at some point in time, because anything kid to me is is something you got to experience. So I guess Shadow, Cape Wickham, and the new Gamble Sands course, those would be my top three worldwide. I hope to get to Landman one of these days, or Lido. They're both close to me, but you know, that's kind of my top five right now.
I think Landman's probably on my list right now of like, if I was going to choose, just go somewhere. But you can't go there on a moment's notice because they're sold out so much. I am going to Gamble.
Did you guys see, I saw one of the coolest things about Landman, I think yesterday on Twitter. Do you know what they do there? You guys talk about things that are cool that you'd like to do.
The walk-up
song.
Oh yeah.
The walk-up music.
Yep.
You get to pick your own walk-up song on the first tee.
Yep. Yeah, that's outstanding.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
That's a podcast we could do.
That's one of those things that, like with all the things Eric and I have talked about over the years, that I wish I had thought of.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, oh, that's such a good idea. And it's such a no-brainer. How does somebody not come up with that? I don't know if I told you this, Mitch, along those lines, that some person on Twitter chimed in. I was talking about transfusions at Tobacco Road, and some guy said, well, aren't you going to call them transfusions? And I was like, how in God's name did none of us come up with that idea?
Hello.
That's just, anyway. back to Gamble Sands. I'm headed there in August with our mutual friend Joe Sass and a bunch of his air traffic controller buddies. And so I will get a glimpse of what that is going to look like. It's going to open in August of 2025. So it's exciting times at Gamble Sands. So hopefully maybe we can all get out there together. That would be
so great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Eric, this has been an absolute pleasure catching up with you. And again, I can't tell you how much I'm impressed and really excited. We were talking before we started recording. Darren, I don't think was on yet. And Chris, you still there?
Chris. I am.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry to wake you up. we were talking about maybe trying to plan a trip up in September to Wild Marsh.
Yeah.
Getting up there so we could all see it together and do what we do.
Best month of the year to play out here is September all the time. Leaves are just starting to change colors. Temperature's still in the upper 60s. It's perfect. And, you know, I would tell anybody, because I know, Mitch, you were on there. You were looking at all the pictures. Just go to wildmarsh.com and take our course tour if you want to see how beautiful it is. We've got our signature hole was nominated as one of the top 18 holes in the state. It's the seventh hole out here that we've called Pebble Beast. it wraps all the way around the lake in the same shape that Pebble Beach's 18th wraps. And, you know, there's just a lot of really cool things to find in a golf course that's wedged between two giant lakes.
Yeah, the pictures are spectacular. The video is great. I watched it this morning. All right. Thanks again. We're excited for you, grateful to you as golfers for what you're doing and the way you care about Wild Marsh and the people who come to visit, and for all the traveling and writing and everything else great that you do for us. And it's really great. Say hi to the family. Say hi to Dylan. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see you soon, man. We'll be thinking about you all the time.
Appreciate it. Yep.
And Darren, obviously, you know, same goes for you, although not with the same praise I have for Eric.
Definitely. Are you going to tell people where they can find Eric?
Yes, I will. I was going to get around to it, but thanks for the reminder. Eric on the socials, at the Mobile Golfer on Twitter, and just at Mobile Golfer on Instagram. And as Eric said, wildmarsh.com. And you can be following at Golf Wild Marsh on Instagram. We told you about Darren and me. I wanted to mention one thing before we said goodbye to Chris, because I think it's also one of the great things of service that I've seen. Go to Chris either on Instagram or on Facebook and see what he and his wonderful wife are doing relative to adopting dogs. We're not adopting them. No. Wait.
Foster
them for a day.
Yeah.
You take them for a day. But I, when I first saw the first one, I was blown away by it. And every one that you post continues to blow me away. And I thought it was worth mentioning as awesome. Some, you know, people who live in the Chicago area You can follow Chris and see all that, or go to anticruelty.org.
Yeah.
Dogs, golf, we love them. So thanks.
That's right.
Thanks to all of us. Thanks to all of you for listening. Talking Golf Getaways. We'll talk to you soon. There's a lot of dreams flying around here today with Eric, with traveling, with golf, with destinations, with Darren, Chris, all of us. We all have the dreams. We hope you can run down yours. Talk to you soon. So long.